Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Trailer Blazers, that podcast that is swift as the coursing river, with all the force of a great typhoon, with all the strength of a raging fire, mysterious as the dark side of Ben Moon.
I'm Nick, and I'm as tranquil as a forest, but on fire within.
And I'm Ben, and I'm here to defeat the Huns.
We got a lot of good stuff to talk about today, folks.
Man, it is jam-packed with jam and peanut butter.
Yeah, it's an abundance of joyous trailers.
A wealth. Nick, I just can't wait to just dive right in, just get into there and just wallow around in it.
Oh yeah, we got a cornucopia of pleasantries today.
Ooh, I like that seasonal reference that you made.
The Horn of Plenty.
Just like Katniss Everdeen.
Yes, I think with a lot less violence.
There will be no violence in this podcast. Nick, we're very gentle souls. I'm a 9 on the Enneagram. I'm all about that peacemaking.
I used to fight dudes a lot, but I don't do that anymore.
I've never been in a real fight. I do full contact kickboxing with my buddy Steve, but I've never been in like a fight where I was like trying to hurt somebody.
I would still lose to you, but I never lost to any of them.
Nick is like 500-0.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, well, no, I did get knocked out once, but we don't need to talk about that.
Well, Nick, what do you say we start off this episode with the questions times?
I would be extremely excited to do that because this is one of my favorite new segments.
We're all about this cool segment, this good segment. And we got some good questions for you that we came up with. But, you know, I want to start with this, with the question that is on everybody's mind this past week is, what were some cool stats from your Spotify wrap-up, the year-end wrap-up?
I apparently listened to Jonathan Coulton for 20 straight hours, so he was my top artist, followed very closely by Bruce Springsteen, which makes a lot of sense.
You know, I was really surprised by my number one, which was The Flight. And there's only one album that I listened to by them, and it was the soundtrack to Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is excellent, but I feel like I listened to other stuff more, but apparently I didn't.
Yeah, I was surprised by a few of mine, because I listen to a lot of synthwave playlists, and a lot of Springsteen, and a lot of Jonathan Coulton, but I also listen to The Long Winters and The Mountain Goats almost every day, and they weren't in my stats.
That's really weird. I almost wonder if the algorithm still isn't perfect. Maybe they'll get it right next year. The rest of my stuff is pretty accurate, though. It was Hotel Pools, Bonus Points, Jeremy Soule, because, of course, Skyrim, that we always have that on repeat, and then Dan Mason. So if you've never heard of these people, get aboard that retro wave, synth wave, vapor wave, all that good.
College and Electric Youth had a strong presence in mine. Howard Shore, Lord of the Rings soundtracks.
Yes, as like you do. Do you know how many minutes you listen to?
Oh, I didn't look at that. I could try and pull it up now.
So I separated my children out from my Spotify so they wouldn't ruin my Discover playlist, because they were ruining it. And so this year it really was just me, and I listened to 26,000 minutes on Spotify. So I feel like I got my money's worth. I've got that Spotify Premium, the family plan.
Yeah, I don't know where it is, but I listen to it a lot. I don't use Spotify for podcasts, so I wasn't able to get a look at the podcast, but a few of our own listeners sent me screenshots of theirs where we were present in their podcast list.
I love that. I actually do use it for some podcasts because Spotify has some exclusive podcasts.
It does. I was not aware of that.
Yeah. I think Crime Town became exclusive on Spotify, which is one of the most well-curated podcasts I've ever heard. That season one of Crime Town is one of the best podcast series I've ever listened to.
I'm going to write that down, and I'm going to check it out later.
Oh, my gosh. It's like it's about the crime in New Jersey. Oh, no, in Providence, Rhode Island. Yeah, they got a lot of guys, you know, like an Irishman, except that this is in Rhode Island with Buddy C. Yancey.
Hey, is he one of the family?
Hey, one of the family, you know.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. Well, now, the next question in the questions times, is Jango Fett a Mandalorian? This was in the internet this week.
Yeah, I thought he was, like, when they announced episode 2, but then when I watched it, I didn't think he acted like what I thought they would act like. And then I watched the Clone Wars a lot, and they don't really treat him like he was a Mandalorian, but there's also all these warring factions on Mandalore, and, like, if you're not the right kind of Mandalorian, the rest of the Mandalorians from the other clans don't really recognize you, so I guess it's all in the eye of the Mandalorian beholder.
I guess you're right. I think I tend to not recognize this weak sauce Mandalorian, if he is indeed a Mandalorian, Jango Fett. I feel like he went out real quick, sort of like his son. And, you know, this it was at episode 4 of the actual show, The Mandalorian. We understand now that they're not supposed to take their helmet off in front of people. And if they do, they can never put it back on again. I pretty much saw that Jango Fett take his helmet off, so...
I think Jango Fett and Boba Fett were both just opportunists. More like mercenaries or something along those lines than actual Mandalorians.
You know, the Kaminoans are people, too, so if you take your helmet off in front of a Kaminoan... Yeah, and I do think they're opportunists. They're just weak sauce compared to my man in The Mandalorian and all his bruttas. They're the real deal.
Yep, those guys rule.
Was it episode 3 that they all fought and the stuff with that?
Yeah, that was the one with the big downtown battle. But yeah, Boba Fett and Jango Fett. To quote my number one Spotify artist of 2019, Jonathan Colton, he just went down a hole in the sand.
That's a sick burn there. For 1,000 years, he'll be slowly digested.
Yeah, I'm sure that eventually some Disney Star Wars thing will decide they want to mess around with that and maybe pull him out, but until then, he is being eaten.
All right, so speaking of being eaten, I don't know if that's a good segue, but The next question is, if you had to ride into a large battle, what movie creature would you ride in on?
Now, before I answer this, I would love to know the genesis of this question.
So in Benny's Good Good Question game, when people come over to my house for dinner, I will often ask them this question. I don't limit it to movie creatures. A lot of times I'll say, if you could make any animal large enough to ride, what animal would it be? Would you choose to ride into battle with? And the obvious answer is either a hummingbird or a tardigrade, because they would be terrifying.
Ant-Man could ride a tardigrade.
Yeah, Ant-Man could ride a tardigrade. So, but, you know, this, I wanted to make it movie-centric, so what movie creature would you ride in on?
I thought about this for a couple days, and I was waffling around. I had, like, considered putting a saddle on the Rancor's head at first, mm-hmm. but I think what I ultimately landed on, because it's any movie creature, I wanted to ride in on Anguirus from the Godzilla movies. And if you don't know who that is, he's a big spiky Ankylosaurus porcupine monster. And he's got like a turtle shell full of spikes and a big spiky tail and spikes on his head. And I just want to ride on top of him and destroy everyone.
Is he spiky?
He's a spiky boy, Ben.
Spiky boy. You know, it's funny because I went the same exact route as you. I chose King Ghidorah.
Aha!
Hydra, because that is the scariest monster that I have probably ever seen in any movie, other than the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. That Joker was so scary.
Where are you going to put that saddle?
That's the thing. I think I'm going to ride that middle head.
He's the boss.
Yeah, I'm going to have... So that's a good question. I think I'm just going to drill the saddle into the top of his head. He's tough. He can take it.
Yeah, well, they grow back, too.
Yeah, it'll grow back. Yeah, so he's not worried about it, and he's so mean. Man, I would just destroy everybody.
You know that they named the leftmost head Kevin, like on the production?
Sure. Well, I mean, why wouldn't you?
Because he's the goofy one that was like licking the ground and kind of the dumb head, the one that gets ripped off and grows back.
He's so dumb.
Oh, Kevin.
Okay, now the next question is of the, you know, it's the same type thing, but if you could ride into a large battle, what movie creature would you ride in on, but it has to be smaller than a house?
Our Megadon.
For this one, I sort of bent the rules a little, and I picked a creature from a cartoon that is going to appear in an upcoming movie, and I went with Battle Cat from He-Man.
Dude, Battle Cat is such a solid answer, and I didn't know what movie you were talking about, but I didn't even care. I was like, just yes to Battle Cat.
Yeah, I want to ride on Battle Cat and just destroy everyone, and then he probably, when I'm done, will turn back into Cringer.
So I want to ride on Falcor,
That was my other choice.
Showing our age here, but I want an armored version of Falcor. I want him to have like Falcor armor, and I want it to be black.
Armored Luck Dragon.
Armored Luck Dragon. But I did, honorable mention was, can I ride Nightcrawler? Is that a thing? Can I just give me a piggyback ride?
What if he rides Falcor too, and then he can teleport you around?
That's actually a solid choice, because he can just poof paw me right behind a guy, and I could just give him a quick stab with a Legolas knife, and then poof paw back onto Falcor, and we just fly away.
We are of one mind here. I almost picked Falcor, but then I couldn't switch off a battle cat.
Yeah, once you had that battle cat in your mind, you're like, that's it. All right, so in the same thing, so this is all, we're in this, you know, just this big battle, you know, it's a very important battle. So in this battle, if you had to carry a weapon in your hands, what weapon would you have? And then I will allow main weapon and sidearm.
Oh, I didn't think of a sidearm. My main weapon is the glaive from Krull. Have you ever seen Krull?
You know, I actually never saw it.
Oh, okay. So
is it Kevin Sorbo?
It's a guy. Is it Kevin Sorbo, or is it just a guy that looks like? I'll pull it up. I know that Liam Neeson is in it as like a very young role. It's just a guy that looks like Kevin Sorbo. Okay. Because it stars Ken Marshall, Lisette Anthony, Freddie Jones, Francesca Annis, a bunch of like people you don't know, but then randomly Liam Neeson.
I do not know any of those people.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, so the glaive in Krull is like this little tri-blade knife, and it looks like a gaudy 80s weapon that would only be in an 80s movie. And you can like throw it and it spins. It's totally ridiculous, but that's what I want. I want to ride in on Battle Cat with the glaive from Krull and call in an airstrike from Falcor.
Which I will be riding with Nightcrawler.
Yeah. My sidearm would then be Rick Deckard's pistol from Blade Runner.
Oh, nice. Nice choice. So my main gun is going to be that gun from Eraser. Did you remember that gun?
Oh, man. I know. Yes. See, I thought of that too.
That gun has an X-ray scope.
Ah, the gun from... That's such a good answer.
That gun from Eraser was insane, man. Oh, it could, like, destroy everything. It was like a railgun, basically. And then my sidearm would be the Noisy Cricket, of course.
Oh, man. They have Men in Black is on Netflix. I really need to watch that again.
I almost wonder, though, is the Noisy Cricket my main weapon and the Eraser gun my sidearm? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, the Noisy Cricket I would think as a sidearm, because I wouldn't use that unless it was a last resort, because it's going to send you flying as well.
Yeah, but I've got a Nightcrawler hanging on to me, so I can just fly off of Falcor and poof paw right back onto his back.
I wonder how Falcor and Nightcrawler react to recoil from the Noisy Cricket. Like, does teleportation cancel the recoil?
Nah, you need, like, a dampener. What is that? Inertial dampener, like in Iron Man's suit? You need something like that.
Yeah, otherwise you're just going to be squished by physics.
Yeah, physics. All right, well, that does it for the questions tomes.
And folks listening at home, send in your answers too. I'm going to post the questions. They'll be in the show notes. They'll be on the Instagram, which is at Trailer Blazers Podcast. They'll be posted on Twitter, which is at @trailer_blazers. I'm sorry they're not all the same. But yeah, post your answers to us. Send them to us and we'll read them on the next episode.
Yeah, we should put those in the Instagram story, people's good answers.
Yep, we will do it.
That'll be so much fun, man. I hope y'all write in, because I do want to know what you would choose to ride into battle with. All right, so that does it for the questions times. And the next one is going to be, when we gonna get?
Yeah, this first one in When We Gonna Get is funny, because it is a combination of the Trailer Mailers and When We Gonna Get section, because two people, our mutual friend Charlie and Jay, both sent in When We Gonna Get a Kung Fury 2 trailer.
That is such a good When We Gonna Get, and I knew that it makes sense that Charlie asked this question, because Charlie actually made a costume that was the arcade that gets like destroyed in the beginning of the first movie, and I mean it's like, it looks just like the movie. It's incredible. It's an incredible costume. So I know he's chomping at the bit for this, and I want it to. That first one is just wacky and fun, man.
He included a picture of ArcadeBot in the email and signed it, "Your boy ArcadeBot."
we'll put that on Instagram.
Yep.
You guys got to see that. So I think we will get a trailer for this after Christmas.
I think so too. I can't find a release date for it, but it has a pretty stacked cast compared to the first one, which was like made for YouTube. This one has like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Michael Fassbender in it.
Having the stars in it is fine. I just want the tone to basically be exactly the same.
Yeah, it just needs to pretty much carry on exactly from the first one.
Yeah, I really don't need anything different. I want the same flavor, just new.
Yeah, very good. Very good movie, Kung Fury.
Yeah. All right. And then, Nick, when we gonna get an Eternals trailer?
Eternals comes out in November 2020. I'm going to guess we'll get a trailer with Widow.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I was thinking March. When does Widow come out?
Widow comes out in May. Eternals doesn't come out until November.
Okay, so March might be... We might get like a logo teaser trailer or something quick, if anything. But yeah, I think you're probably right. Probably May.
Yeah, it makes sense to tie it to the other major Marvel release coming out this year that isn't one of the Disney Plus shows. I'm guessing the post-credits scene for Black Widow might be for Falcon and Winter Soldier, which is the thing that comes out next after Black Widow, I believe.
That'd be interesting.
But, you know, it could be anything. It could be more Widow stuff or something with Hawkeye, maybe. Who knows?
Could be Howard the Duck.
Could be, yeah. It has been in the past.
It has been. When we gonna get a better look at that Taskmaster? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, this might not be for a while. I'm guessing that Hot Toys won't make him as a released figure, which is usually, like, if you want reference pictures for characters, I always go to Hot Toys. They tend to not make villains, or if they do, they'll make only ones from, like, the main Avengers movies, and if they make side villains, or, like standalone movie villains, rather, they tend to only make a prototype for Toy Fair at San Diego Comic-Con. As far as like a real good look at Taskmaster, I would think maybe character posters, which would probably start to come out in March or April.
I really like Taskmaster. Do we share a love for Taskmaster?
Oh yeah, I love Taskmaster.
I think he's a great villain.
I've been waiting for him to show up in one of these movies.
I think this is a good place for him to show up, Black Widow.
I can't think of a better place. She's probably the most stylistic fighter of all of them.
Yeah, so that'll be good. I'm ready to see that dude do some work. And then Nick, when we gonna get that Wonder Woman 1984 trailer?
So this one's coming up pretty close. The rumor currently is that Wonder Woman 1984's trailer is dropping this Sunday, so by the time you're listening to this, it should already be available, and we will be talking about it in our next episode. And that goes for the next movie on when we're gonna get, which is Ghostbusters Afterlife.
I want both of these real bad, but especially that Wonder Woman, just because I love that first Wonder Woman.
Yeah, the World War One part of that is so good.
Gosh. And then Ghostbusters Afterlife is, do you know who the cast is?
Yeah, it's Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things is in it. I know Carrie Coon from Fargo season 2, and I think she was in The Leftovers. She's really good. She was Proxima Midnight's voice also. All the originals are in it, so Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Sigourney Weaver. I doubt Rick Moranis, but I think everyone else.
Did you see the Movies That Made Us documentary on Netflix about Ghostbusters?
I saw it was on there just earlier today. I have not watched it yet. Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, I love that The Toys That Made Us documentary series, and this is same people, they're just doing movies, and so they did one on Ghostbusters. Real good. Highly recommend. Well, that's all the when we go gay it. So let's move on to those new trailers, and boy, did we have some good'uns this past week.
Yeah, this is like the opposite of last week.
Yeah, they chose to just dump a big dump truck load of not manure. This is not Back to the Future where you have a trailer full of manure.
Yeah, well, Biff deserved that, but we didn't deserve it last week, and we do deserve this week, because we have a really good week for spy movies and just some other genres that are worthy of note, but spy movies specifically, because there's two of them, and the first one of those is one of my favorite things, which is James Bond. So 007 No Time to Die teaser trailer and full trailer came out this week.
Yeah, I, as we know, have not seen Spectre, and so I wasn't really caring about this too much, but boy, did that do a little 180 in the parking lot after I saw that full trailer, because gosh, a dog, is that a good trailer.
This is a good trailer. It's so good.
Oh my gosh. When I say that my favorite part, the whole trailer, is when the miniguns, like, the come out of the headlights of the car, and it's like, I'm like, oh my god, I'm on board, son. Ooh, no, I got to see this movie.
See, I feel like you'd like Spectre, because with Spectre, they sort of took it back to more, like, how you expect James Bond movies to feel. So, like, Q was in it, and he had more, like, weird gadgets and machines and stuff. And, like, the villains were a little more flamboyant in the James Bond style, because Christoph Waltz was playing Blofeld, and he's a classic villain.
They got messed up faces. Don't all the Bond villains have messed up faces?
Yeah, I mean, Christoph Waltz didn't. He was Blofeld, who is the one that Dr. Evil in Austin Powers was, like, a parody of. So he had, like, the silver suit and the cat in the old one, you know?
That's right.
Yeah, and in Spectre, it introduced Madeleine Swann, who Lee... I don't know if it's Leah or Lee Seydoux. It's French, so I'm not sure. Her character, she was introduced in Spectre, so I think you should watch Spectre before this one. But
oh, I definitely
man,
will.
Was this a good trailer.
Gosh, do you have a favorite part of the trailer?
So this is gonna sound really dorky, but I think you'll appreciate it because you like the same kind of things as me. My favorite part was when Bond came out with that tactical sweater, and I was like, I want to own that.
I was thinking you were going to say that motorcycle jump off the stairs, the miniguns, but the tactical sweater.
I want to own it. It's a good look.
But you got to remember, it is Daniel Craig wearing it, so it's like, it's going to look good.
He looks just like me.
That Daniel Craig, he's not difficult to look at. I mean...
Don't believe me, folks. If anything, I look more like Matthew Perry than James Bond.
You do look like Matthew Perry.
People come up to me at like grocery stores or like random in public just to tell me that I look like Matthew Perry, and it's like they're compelled to do it.
Has anyone ever told you that you look like Matthew Perry?
Yeah, one girl came up to me in Piggly Wiggly, and she was like, hey, I just have to tell you, you look just like Chandler from Friends. And then she sort of paused and she went, okay, sorry, okay, bye. And she ran away.
Oh, that's good. That is great. Good times.
And also in this Bond trailer, the villain was Rami Malek, and he did have a messed up face. And he was wearing like a creepy broken doll mask at one point.
He kind of looked like somebody splashed a little battery acid in his face. What do you think?
That's what it looked like, yeah. He was all burned up.
I don't want to judge him. He could have a skin condition. I don't want to judge that.
Yeah. I think I have an idea. I've watched every single Bond movie like 40 times. Based on some of the stuff that I've seen, and this is a pre-existing internet rumor. I didn't come up with this on my own, but I agree with it, that Rami Malek might be like a reboot of Dr. No. Maybe that's why it's called No Time to Die.
Hey, is it Mandela Effect? What, do you remember the N64 game based on a Bond movie?
Yeah, GoldenEye.
What was the name of the video game?
GoldenEye.
Okay, so the game is just called GoldenEye. It's not called James Bond 007 GoldenEye. It's not called 007 GoldenEye. It's just called GoldenEye.
Oh, weird. I would think it would be 007 GoldenEye, because all the movies are... I guess this just says No Time to Die. Maybe I always just add the 007 in my head.
Maybe we do. I don't know. Maybe that's not Mandela Effect. Maybe it's just this word wrong.
Who's your favorite James Bond?
Gosh. I don't know. I really like that Daniel Craig, but I got, you know, there's a lot of the Roger Moore stuff that I really like. And there's a lot of the Sean Connery stuff I really like. I love Goldfinger.
I respect you for going to Roger Moore first. That takes courage, because some people will pick on Roger Moore because some of his movies were ridiculous, but it's fun. It's fun ridiculous.
Come on,
it's
man. Moonraker, when you're watching Moonraker as like a 10-year-old, it's pretty cool.
It's awesome. Jaws, come on.
Come on.
That's the one with the pigeon that does a double take. It's my favorite thing in any movie ever.
Which one is Oddjob in?
Oddjob, Goldfinger, right?
I think so.
He's in a Sean Connery one.
Yeah. You're not allowed to play Oddjob in the N64 game, though, on multiplayer.
Yeah, yeah.
Not allowed.
It's broken. Broken.
So then we also, in the sort of the spy feel, what do I say? So, sort of in the spy...
Espionage.
In the spy genre. We have the trailer, finally, oh my gosh.
Finally.
For Black Widow, and boy, I think it looks great.
Man, I woke up I wake up for work at 5:15. I went into my living room, turned on my TV, went to YouTube, did all this effort at 5:15 in the morning just so I could watch this trailer on my big TV and not have to watch it on my phone at work.
That's the attaboy, attaboy. David Harbour's in this, and apparently all of Black Widow's family, which was I was not expecting. Is this like a family flick? Like family reunion flick?
So the characters that were in her little family there, we have David Harbour as Red Guardian, Alexei Shcherbakov, Shostakov, and Yelena Belova, who is Florence Pugh's character. Yelena Belova, some people might know as another Black Widow. She's the blonde one from the comics. I have a couple Yelena Belova comics somewhere. And Rachel Weisz, who was Iron Maiden.
I think this is going to be so fun. And what I wonder, though, is there going to be people that are speaking, like Russian-speaking people that are speaking Russian, and then we have our American actors that are doing their darndest to speak Russian, and how good are they going to do?
Well, luckily, the Russian accent is the one that sounds the most like someone doing an impression of that accent. So it's pretty easy to do that one. I mean, for my job, I have to read Cyrillic and Russian stuff all day, and I can get by talking to Russian people on the phone, and they never seem to correct my pronunciation or anything, and I'm not even good at it, so I bet these trained actors will do just fine.
They'll do just fine. Yes. You remember the show? What is name of show?
Вы ничего не знаете.
No. Name of show, Stranger Things, Season 3.
Ah, yes.
The guy in Stranger Things Season 3, the American guy, who was it? That spoke Russian.
Brett Gelman's character?
Yes, with the towel shirt.
I can't remember his character's name, but yeah, Brett Gelman's character.
Charlie's gonna kill me, because Charlie dressed up as him at Dragon Con.
Yeah, he came up to me and he was, because I was dressed as Alexei from Stranger Things, so we took some pictures together.
I did a deep dive on Reddit, and somebody had asked the question, you know, was his Russian very good, because he spoke a lot of Russian that season 3, and some Russian speaking people were saying that his Russian was excellent and that he did have a little bit of an accent, but it was not near as much as like your normal American actor, but he was very precise and it was very, very good. And I was like, man, that's awesome. I hope that other actors can sort of achieve that as well. They have good coaches, dialect coaches, and all that kind of stuff.
I can tell it was precise because I could understand about 2/3 of what he said.
That's pretty cool. But I don't know how much Russian is going to be in this movie, but it does look like a fun thing. And we have her skydiving through chunks of metal, which I am here for.
Also, that white suit. Huh.
Give us the white suit.
She looks awesome. I'm a sucker for any snow battle. Like in Empire Strikes Back, that's my favorite Star Wars because of Hoth. I loved the part in Inception where they were like attacking the base in the snow. This James Bond trailer had like a snow battle part with cool sweaters. And this widow movie, the white suit in the snow, like on the bridge in Russia or Budapest or Hungary, or I don't know, it was awesome.
Our friend Stephanie on the Seeing Double podcast is gonna go broke trying to make all these costumes because she has to do like everything Black Widow.
Yes, she does. She has pretty much represented every possible look that Black Widow has done. And I really wish, she's in St. Louis right now, and I really wish I could get her like phoned in so I could ask her some questions about this trailer, because she knows way more about these characters than I do even, and I'm a giant Marvel nerd. But like, she probably knows all these little connections and ties between Iron Maiden and Black Widow and Taskmaster, and because I know she's got some theories on where the plot's going, and I bet they're going to be correct.
Do you think we'll ever see, like, the short hair Black Widow from, like, the early 90s from the comics?
Well, she does have a new haircut in every movie, so it could be. It depends on who directs it, I guess.
I suppose so. Then we have a trailer for a movie called Already Gone.
Ben, this trailer is already gone from my mind, and I watched it a half an hour ago.
The only thing I remember from this trailer is it's got a poor man's Lilu Dallas multipass.
Lilu Dallas multipass.
It's the girl, she has orange hair that's like a wig that Lilu Dallas has.
That's right, that's right.
Chican good.
Chican good.
Was this a teaser trailer or was this a trailer? Because I didn't have a single inkling of what was going on.
No, I don't know. See, the movie already had limited release, so I think this trailer was for like a wider release. So it shouldn't be a teaser trailer. It should be the full trailer. But it just was like, I think Sean William Scott is someone's stepfather was like hitting them. And there was a exotic dancer, and I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's not a good trailer. Real not good. Not even a Lilo Dallas wig can save this trailer, boy. Woo.
It's probably already gone from the theater.
Yeah, so don't waste your time with that. Now, another movie we have, I probably won't even watch this, but it's Ip Man 4 with Donnie Yen.
Donnie Yen rules.
I like Donnie Yen, I will say that. This is a kung fu movie, and it's got a strange amalgamation of English and Mandarin.
Have you ever seen the first Ip Man?
I've not seen any of the Ip Mans because once I saw mixed martial art fighting in real life, it ruined kung fu movies forever for me.
But isn't Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon one of your top five movies?
Yeah, that's like light body fighting, wall running, swords, weapons. Weapons are different.
Well, Ip Man 1 is pretty good. So I don't know. I haven't seen the sequels, so I don't know. I like Donnie Yen though. Maybe I should watch the sequels and see if they're as good as the first one.
Maybe so. Bruce Lee, a fake Bruce Lee is in this movie.
That seems to be a common trend lately, because there's a fake Bruce Lee in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, too.
This looks like they computer-generated a Bruce Lee face onto an actor's body.
I went to Mystery Science Theater 3000 Live when they did their Milwaukee show a little while ago in November. And the movie that they did was called Never Give Up, Never Surrender, or something like that. It was a really bad kung fu movie from the 80s, and it had Jean-Claude Van Damme in it. But the kid that was like training to fight Jean-Claude Van Damme was like obsessed with Bruce Lee and would visit his grave and stuff. And they had someone play the ghost of Bruce Lee to come and train him.
What?
Yeah, it was like some skinny guy who didn't look at all like Bruce Lee, and like he was training him in this abandoned house that was just inexplicably accessible. And his friend was like this random kid from the neighborhood who at one point just starts rapping for no reason.
This is sounding terrible. This is sounding awful.
That's why it was being shown for Mystery Science Theater.
Oh, wow.
They were making fun of it the whole time. It was very funny. But yeah, so maybe let's cool it on the fake Bruce Lees.
Yeah, maybe so. Were you surprised there weren't any Australian people in this movie, in this trailer?
It never occurred to me.
Yeah, like a lot of times when they have any English-speaking parts in Asian movies, like from Thailand or China, they'll have Australian people because I guess they're the closest.
Oh, that makes sense. I didn't think about it. Have you ever seen Jet Li's Fearless?
Yes. It's been a million years, though.
That's in my top five of all time. I think instead of watching this movie, I'll just watch Fearless again.
Now, there is a movie that did say, or a trailer that at the end of the trailer said it was streaming. And this movie is called Togo. And it has got one Willem Dafoe. And it is a...
Old Green Goblin himself.
The Green Goblin himself. And he is a dog sled musher in the, I guess, Alaska. And there are no, well, there are computer animated dogs in this, I think, but the majority is real dogs.
Yeah, when I first sent this to you, I think I made a joke about another day, another CGI dog movie, but then I actually watched the trailer and it looks like real dogs with like, it kind of reminded me of the story of Balto, if you've ever seen or heard. I mean, I guess that's a true story, but it reminded me, and so is this, but it's a different true story, but it still reminded me of Balto.
Yeah, this trailer was much better than the garbage other one that I can't even remember the name, because I've tried to forget it. I've tried to erase it from my
mind. Call of the Wild?
Yes, Call of the Wild. This is a much better looking film. And plus, Willem Dafoe actually probably still cares about acting, you know.
Yeah,
siblings and I, we quote Willem Dafoe as Green Goblin all the time.
Oh, who doesn't? He's a national treasure. He's from my homeland. He's from Appleton, Wisconsin, I believe.
You can't do this to me.
But you can't do this to me.
I started this company.
I started this company.
You know how much I sacrificed?
Out am I.
Out am I.
I'm something of a scientist myself.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Do you guys love Willem Dafoe as Green Goblin as much as we do?
Everyone, I think everyone agrees on a couple things in life. And one of them is that Willem Dafoe as the Green Goblin is a gift to mankind.
Okay, now this is what I have been waiting to talk about. Guys, we finally got a real trailer for Mulan, the live action Mulan.
Yeah, this was unexpected this week, but extremely welcome.
Gosh, and they also put out a poster for this movie, and it is, I'm going to say it's the best movie poster that I have seen perhaps in years.
If you want to see it, I already posted it to our Instagram. I'm sure you can find it, but we'd appreciate it if you check it out where we're providing it.
So the poster was amazing. And then that trailer, Nick, I watched the trailer once, cried. And then I watched it again with my family over here doing a kind of a late Thanksgiving. And I cried again, Nick, watching it the second time.
It really got to you.
Gosh,
huh?
Yeah, it did.
It was a really good trailer. It was gorgeous. Cinematography is gorgeous. It looks like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
The colors are insane in this. It's just beautiful. My favorite shot, I gotta say, one of my favorite shots, is when the Huns jump off their horses, stick to the wall, and start running up the wall of the town.
It was awesome.
Oh my god. The camera, I've never seen anybody do a camera move like that. It's unreal.
Yeah, it was incredible. Especially liked the part where the witch was like spinning people around and she had those claws and stuff and then she turns into a bird.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think that they're going to be real creative with this movie. I don't know who the director is, but I just respect what they're doing. I think it's going to be awesome and it's going to scratch that itch, that Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon itch that I have all the time.
Nikki Caro is the director on this.
I cannot wait for this. This is my most awaited movie right now.
I think it's great. It's the first live-action Disney movie remake that feels A, justified to me, and B, that they actually tried to make good.
I 100% agree with you, and I also 1,000% agree with you.
Also, it's got both Donnie Yen and Jet Li in it.
Can we just talk about that? That's such a great thing. All the actors are great. Her dad is precious. She is just a delight. The main actress.
Yeah, her name is Yifei Lu, I believe it's pronounced. And also Jimmy Wong is in it. Do you know who Jimmy Wong is?
I don't.
He is Freddie Wong's brother, and he streams Magic the Gathering on YouTube. But Freddie Wong, if you don't know who Freddie Wong is, he does some stuff with Corridor Digital, and he's got his own channel, I think is Rocket Jump, but I mainly know him from Corridor. He's an extremely talented special effects camera guy.
I want this real hard.
Yeah, this is going to be a good movie. I might have to find a way of watching this in a theater. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to take my kids to this one, and I will probably enjoy it more than they do.
Well, they'll come around to it.
Then we have a trailer for something called The Assistant, and boy, this is pretty realistic looking.
Yeah, this one was a very tense trailer, too.
It's a Netflix show or a movie?
I think, was it on Netflix?
I think it is. It takes place in an office, like in a business, but it's like mm-hmm. a very corporate atmosphere. And it's about a young girl who's very, like, I guess timid or something, but all this stuff is going on around her. And it's just, I mean, it's like really realistic, I felt.
Yeah, and all the guys around her are kind of weird. She was like coordinating all this guy's meetings and stuff, and they were like telling her how to talk to him and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of real shady stuff, and like a lot of real high pressure stuff in this corporate atmosphere. And it looks awful in that regard. But I mean, I think this is probably going to trigger a lot of people because this is like what I think this is the experience that a lot of probably women have had in the office place.
Yeah, what I was thinking when I was watching this trailer is that I feel like if this gets more well known as like how people feel, like how women feel when they have to work in these situations, and it becomes less socially acceptable and more like public facing, that maybe it'll go away eventually. I don't know.
That's a really optimistic view.
I mean, it might take 1,000 years. But, you know, I just say to turn the creeps into public pariahs so they'll go away.
So by the time that Boba Fett gets out of the Sarlacc pit, we will have guys acting normal and nice in the office.
Yeah, maybe it's an unrealistic thing to hope for.
Then the last trailer we saw that came out was something called Troop Zero.
Yeah, this was a weird one. I just added this a little while ago.
Refresh my memory on this one.
It takes place in 1970s Georgia, and it's about like a bunch of weird girls that start a Girl Scout troop. Sort of like the underdog, like leftover kids, you know?
I don't know that I watched this. Maybe I skipped over this one.
Oh, maybe you did. It had Allison Janney in it and like Jim Gaffigan. Some of the stuff in the trailer seemed like it could be funny, but some of it, I don't know. Some of it seemed a little too weird.
Why they gotta be weird?
This is one of those things where I wouldn't watch it unless someone I trust told me it was good.
That's the thing, man. Like, if you're going to give up an hour or two of your time, you gotta make sure it's good. There's so much good stuff out there.
Yeah, there's too much good stuff. I can never decide what to do, and then it overwhelms me, and I end up, like, watching DuckTales over and over on Disney Plus.
or streaming Parks and Rec or 30 Rock again.
Yeah, for the 50th time.
Then we had a couple of TV trailers come out. So there's something coming out called Messiah. And is this Netflix?
Yes, this, I believe, was Netflix.
And we got Michelle Monaghan. Is she the girl from slow-moving Nazi show on Amazon? Man in the High Castle.
I haven't seen that. Our mutual friend Lindsay has threatened me to watch the first episode so that I can experience the badness that she experienced. But I haven't done it yet. I don't know if she's in it. I know she always plays people's wives. Like, she's Tom Cruise's wife in the Mission Impossible movies. And she's... I forget the other one. I had a bunch of examples in my brain when I was thinking about the show before. She's, like, always someone's wife in something. But I like to see her in this. She's not someone's wife. She looks like she's, like, the main character with agency and stuff.
Yes. Okay. So she is not the same girl as Man in High Castle. Much different. She, very pretty actress. I know her from Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yeah, she's in most of the... True Detective. That was the other thing. She was Woody Harrelson's wife in that.
Man, I'm really glad to hear that she's breaking out of that and is actually main character stuff.
Yeah, she doesn't need to be people's wives always. Like, let Michelle Monaghan act.
Let her out of the cage. Oh my gosh. Let her free.
I probably wouldn't have been interested in this show except for that. Like, I want to see her be a main character for once.
But this looks fairly special effect heavy, I think, of like these things that are going around this guy claiming to be the Messiah in like Syria. And then I guess he comes to Texas and flies around in these private jets and stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out because I think there'll be a thread of whether or not he's a charlatan going through the whole thing.
Right, right. I'll probably watch like the first 15 minutes, and if it grabs me, I'll finish it. And if not, I'll go watch Parks and Rec. I don't know.
Or you could watch our next trailer, Lost in Space Season 2.
Oh, man, I'm excited about this. This trailer was awesome, and it felt long, too. Did it feel long to you?
It felt like a long trailer, but it had Iggy Pop in it, so I was cool with that.
I love the first season of Lost in Space. I feel like this is a unique series because it's like a family that's not so dysfunctional that they just can't operate. It's like they do love each other, and they support each other, and it's very wholesome in that regard. And I felt like, gosh, I haven't seen anything like this in I can't remember when. So I really dug that first season.
Probably not since the original Lost in Space.
Maybe not. I sort of like that dynamic, a family that actually loves each other and can like survive together and work together and all that stuff. So really looking forward to this season. Special effects look great, I think.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to watch the original Lost in Space a lot. Like, I had VHS tapes, and I had, like, a remote-controlled toy of the robot. And I love the 1998 movie, even though it's probably a bad movie, all things considered. I love it anyway. I think it created a weird sci-fi tone that has not been replicated, and it's one that I was definitely here for. And I like this iteration as well.
The guy from Friends that was in the 1998 movie.
Matt LeBlanc,
he is on the American version of Top Gear, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
I've been watching clips on YouTube. I haven't watched the American version of Top Gear, but I've been watching like clips on YouTube about cars and stuff because I like cars. And I was like, oh, Matt LeBlanc, what do you know? I was like, that's kind of a nice career move, though. He gets to drive cars on a show.
It's good for him, I think, because he hasn't done much really since Friends. They did the Joey spinoff, but that only lasted two seasons.
Yeah, that was not gonna work. But Top Gear is a good look, I think.
Yeah, everyone loves Top Gear. Like, even people who... I like Top Gear, and I don't know anything about cars.
Then we have a trailer for The Outsider. A trailer for The Outsider. Stephen King show on HBO.
Yep. Not to be confused with The Outsiders with Ponyboy and Soda Pop. This is a Stephen King murder mystery with possible supernatural elements in it. I mean, I know because Jess read the book and told me stuff that was going on in the book as she read it, so I have an idea where this is gonna go, but I'm here for it because of Ben Mendelsohn's
the main reason. I'll probably check it out, but it looks very creepy and intense at a lot of parts.
It's probably creepy in the Stephen King way of being creepy, right? Which is kind of creepy but kind of in a sci-fi bent, more like sci-fi than horror half the time.
There's one scene where he's got the flashlight, he's like under a house or something, and you have like sort of an Alan Wake moment where he shines the flashlight and there's a figure in the door.
Yeah, I actually jumped when I was watching the trailer.
So did the character with the flashlight.
Uh-huh.
So we'll probably check that out. And then we also had a trailer for The Boys Season 2.
Yeah, did you watch this?
I did. I wasn't paying like a lot of attention just because I know I won't watch it.
Nope, don't like it.
Yeah, I stopped watching the first season midway through. I just didn't dig it. It was real dark, and I don't like that, where it's just like no hope and everybody's terrible.
We call that nihilism, and I hate it as well.
Yeah, we're not into that on the trailer blazer. So, you know, a lot of people are excited about this, and I'm sure they'll get to watch it and enjoy it, and, you know, that's I'm glad you guys enjoy it. You know, hopefully you will eat a bowl of ice cream afterwards or something and lift your spirit out of that.
Yeah, I don't like dark takes on superheroes. Like, I just think it's stupid. The closest I get is I like Watchmen, the original one. I'm not decided on the HBO one yet. Like, if it's gonna be actual superheroes, I feel like if you're doing like the dark imaginings or like turning the genre on its head, you're just an edgelord. Like, come on. Like, just make Captain America.
Did you see Brightburn?
I did not, because of the same reasons I just said.
Okay, yeah, I figured. I was like, yeah, you probably didn't like that or didn't see that.
No, I saw the trailer and I didn't. I mean, I love James Gunn, and I know he produced it and he's super into it. I love James Gunn. No, not going to watch that. Don't like it.
Well, that does it for all the new trailers, both for movie and TV. And that brings us to trailer mailers. You've got
mail. Yeah, we got a few trailer mailers to talk about today. We actually got a reply from our question last week about who likes the video game section and listens to it even though they might not play video games. And we got a reply from Sheila the Tuba on Instagram, who is one of our earliest followers. And she said that she hasn't played games in years, but she likes knowing what's out there and available. And she says, besides, very little is more fun than listening to people geek out over things they enjoy. Well, we enjoy that comment, and we enjoy that you responded.
Thank you, Sheila, I should say, first. There are people that are like Sheila that I know that read video game magazines, and they don't even play video games just because they like to know what's out there.
Yeah, especially I just like people who take joy in other people's enjoyment are the best kind of people, in my opinion.
Word up. That's word to Big Bird.
So, we have people that listen, keep on listening, even if they're not playing the games.
Cool, cool. We got an email from Charlie and Jay. Oh yeah, this is the when we gonna get that Kung Fury 2.
I think it's funny that within 2 days, we got two emails from two people who don't know each other about Kung Fury 2.
The zeitgeist.
It's out there. What inspired this from... Like, I understand from Charlie, but I'll have to ask Jay what inspired him. I mean, I know he loves the first one, but I wonder... He also sent in a trailer for Christmas Story. The one with Horseface Guy Pearce. Christmas Carol. He sent that in, but we already had covered that, Jay, so you're a little behind there.
I got a message from Clint, and he said, is it okay to like Return to Oz, even though it has a talking chicken in it?
I think the talking chicken is one of the strong suits of Return to Oz.
I do, too. I love Balina, and it's a animatronic puppet, and it's done really well, especially if you consider for the time it was made in. And she's not too annoying, doesn't take away from anything. She adds to the experience. And she's also a real chicken in scenes. So I have no problem with this.
She was a real chicken before Dorothy went to Oz.
Yeah.
So it's sort of just like a distorted reality in the first place, where everyone sort of had a mirror back in the real world.
Exactly.
So it makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes sense. In the context of the story, it makes complete sense. It's not just an animal that's real that they dubbed over with a computer animated mouth.
Yeah, I think he might be putting you on blast for your talking animals edict, but I think you've demonstrated that in a fantasy setting you're okay with it.
Yes, in a fantasy, like, that's why I'm okay with Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe.
Yep, and the little demons in his Dark Materials, which I will say again and again is the best special effects I've ever seen.
So that does it for the main part of the show. Guys, if you want to write into us, hit us up on Instagram at Trailer Blazers Podcast. Or you can also hit us up on Gmail. You can email us trailerblazerspod@gmail.com. And you can also reach out to us on Twitter. That's @trailer_blazers. Send me an email
with all the details. And also, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review if possible on Apple Podcasts, which is still the best way for the show to gain traction.
All right, folks. I am Ben, and I know you're out there.
I'm Nick, and I know you know I'm out here.
Happy Trailsers!
Happy Trailsers!
Welcome to the video games quarter portion of the show. Folks, there was nothing. Nothing that came out, really.
No, I have one trailer in here for Bee Simulator.
I totally missed this in the notes, so I didn't even watch it. But what is Bee Simulator?
Bee Simulator is a game where you are a bee and you do bee-like things. It looked really fun. I don't know if it has... I'm hoping it's not just like a physics engine thing, like I Am Bread or Goat Simulator. Is this looked a little more cohesive than that, but like for something so kind of stupid, it piqued my interest. Like they were flying around and they had to guard the hive from like enemy bees and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm going to check it out.
How does it compare to like Goose Game?
Yeah, maybe it's more like that. I'm hoping it's something like that because Untitled Goose Game is hilarious.
My buddy Steve's, like, obsessed with that game. Or at least the memes from it.
I don't have a Switch, so I can't play it.
So, because the only trailer we got was Bee Simulator, we've got a special video games questions times quarter portion for you.
This is going to be fun, too. I'm wondering if we're going to have... I don't think we're going to have the same answers in this one.
I don't think we are either, but it's still going to be fun. And then we'll address the email from Missy. So this is very similar to the first questions times that we did in the show. So this, but it's video game centric. So, okay, the first question. If you had to ride into a large battle, what video games creature would you ride in on?
All right. So I thought about this for a while, and I kept going back and forth. And I ended up on, I would ride in on one of the Colossuses from Shadow of the Colossus.
A solid answer.
And I think I'm going to go with the first one, the kind of rocky one that's sort of like the tutorial one. I just like how he looks the best.
If you're not familiar with this game, this is an old game that came out and they did a redone version, a remastered version. But it's basically the entire game is you fighting these giant monolith monster things. Are they kaiju? I guess.
Kind of. They're just like... weird, like, elemental creatures that are gigantic and awesomely designed. It's like, the whole game is sort of like an art experience. Also, by the way, last week we were pronouncing that the game, we were saying Gris. It's Gree, I learned.
Gosh, we really messed that one up.
Yeah, but it's kind of like that where everything's just kind of gorgeous and, like, the design is really cool and you fight these monsters, and then there's a twist at the end that is kind of heartbreaking, but it's a really good game.
Man, I didn't play the original, but I played the remastered, and I loved it. I thought it was beautiful. Yeah.
I played both.
Well, just pin a wreath on your knife.
I'm pretty much the best Shadow of the Colossus, sir.
Well, I chose the Thunderjaw from Horizon Zero Dawn.
Ooh, that's a good
one. So that is a big, like, robot Tyrannosaurus Rex and pretty scary. I think it'd be a pretty powerful thing to ride in on.
I'm thinking of a flaw in our choices, though. We've both picked creatures that can be bested by one single human combatant.
Well, that's because you have an AI controlling that beast, but if we can be creative with the beast and do different attacks that are not following a pattern, and therefore the humans will not be able to defeat it.
No, that's a good point.
Which makes me think, gosh, man, Ganon in one of his giant like animal forms would be really tough if he didn't have a pattern that you could learn to defeat him.
Yeah, or like the AT-ST in Shadows of the Empire. In Hoth and the Hangar Bay?
Yeah, patterns, man. That's how you defeat enemy bosses in games. All right, so the next question is, in the same battle, the same large battle, and you had to ride in on something smaller than a house, but a video game's creature, what would it be?
I picked mine for two very specific reasons. Mine, I would choose a Caragor from Shadow of Mordor, and it's like a little, like, kind of like a warg, but not quite. It's a little more reptilian, yeah. I think. And the reason that I chose it, the first reason is because my favorite thing in Shadow of Mordor was when you'd like be sneaking around and you'd hear the orc conversations. And one of them was, "I'm not afraid of Caragors. When I find one, I'm going to learn how to ride it." And I just thought that was hilarious. But my second reason is the hardest I've ever worked to get an achievement was an achievement called White Rider in Shadow of Mordor, and it was, you had to like free people on a Caragor or something, and I worked so hard to get that achievement that I would want that same exact Caragor as my mount.
And you'd want to get that achievement in real life.
Yes, I would.
So I chose Okami. Okami!
Ah, oh, that's such a good one.
If I could ride Okami, I would have an awesome dog with awesome abilities and paint, and I could hear like the doong doong sound all the time, and it would be great.
I have a Okami t-shirt somewhere. Yeah, no, that's a good answer.
Now, the studio that made Okami, they also made Beautiful Joe. Did you ever play Beautiful Joe?
I have not.
Gosh, I love Beautiful Joe. I love that game. I want to do, but I can't really do a costume of him because he's like a little person.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could do just like an inspiration costume where it's just like based on it.
He's got a pink scarf and an awesome helmet, and he's just so cool. I love Beautiful Joe. But I also love Okami, and I would ride Okami into battle.
Okami seems non-violent to me. He might not be interested in the battle, but you could ride him over there.
Is Okami a boy or a girl?
I don't know.
I always thought Okami was a girl.
That makes more sense. You're probably right. I'm sorry I misgendered the cartoon fox.
How dare you! Go ahead and pack up your things.
Yeah, they're already packed from last time.
All right, now this is the answer. I mean, the question that I am like really looking forward to asking you. So in this battle, what video game's weapon would you carry in your hands?
I am extremely proud of my answer. My weapon would be the hole from Donut County.
That is an impressive answer. I mean, I guess you could carry a device that does the hole.
Well, the raccoon in Donut County has a little laptop because the Donut County app is the one that they use, or the one that he uses to control the hole in the game. So I assume I'm sitting there on my Caragor and or on my Shadow of the Colossus monster, and I have a laptop, and I'm driving the hole around the battlefield, and it expands every time someone falls in it. So I'm getting bigger and bigger. And I can take out more dudes and more dudes and more dudes, and pretty soon I just win.
That is a very strategic and, I would say, smart answer. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I would just, like, sweep the hole back and forth in front of me so that no one could get close to me, and it would expand every time, so.
I love the fact that a raccoon with a laptop is controlling it.
Oh, yeah. Have you played Donut County?
I have not. I'm familiar with it, but I've not played.
I got it recently. It's extremely, like, calming to play. I got it. Missy had recommended it to me.
Yeah, I talked to her a little bit about it as well because I was just curious about it.
She's an evangelist for that game.
All right, so I actually was sort of torn between three different weapons, but I think I did make a decision, and I'll let you know the other two as well. But I think I'm going to choose the Chrono Scepter from Turok.
Turok. Excellent pull.
N64, the Chrono Scepter is, I think, one of the last weapons you get, but it is, boy, it is a very OP weapon. I mean, it does real big explosions.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good answer. We'd be unstoppable.
Absolutely, because, I mean, I can carry that Chrono Scepter in one hand and hold on to my Dino Bot with the other hand and just, you know, destroy. Now, not quite as powerful are the other guns I chose, but I was thinking about the laptop gun from Perfect Dark.
That's another good one. Kevin, our friend Kevin, who is an avid listener of this podcast, is going to, like, jump out of his chair when you say that, because that's, like, one of his favorite things.
That laptop gun was insane, man. And then also the gravity bomb gun from Ratchet and Clank. I just, those weapons are great.
All solid choices. I didn't think of a backup for this because I was so sure of myself with my Donut County Hole weapon.
I don't know that you necessarily need a backup answer. I mean, that donut hole is going to, that's going to do work.
Yeah, I'm going to eat the enemy army up.
I just ate them up. I'll tell you what, I like donuts.
I was wondering where this voice was.
Well, you know, I just saved the best for last. And, well, I'll tell you what, my ex-wife says that shouldn't eat too many donuts if I'm going to eat them, limited to one day a week. And then when I talked to my doctor, he did a heart transplant on me. A couple years back, he said, you need to limit your donuts. He said, you know why you're in here? I said, yeah, my ex-wife. He said, no, it's them donuts you've been eating now. Clogging up the arteries.
Diabetes.
You got diabetes. And I said, well, I'll do my best. And Nick, I'm going to admit to you here, I ain't done my best.
The only thing you've done is convince me to go get a donut tomorrow morning.
Gosh, I love donuts, man.
I live 40 feet away from a Piggly Wiggly, so it's dangerous.
Antarai. All right, so let's talk about this email from Missy. You've got mail. She gave a bunch of Destiny stuff. She said that the number one fact, and this is she wrote it in all caps.
Yeah, it must be the number one fact in all of life.
Okay, well, Bungie makes the best live-action game trailers, and here is a compilation of some of them. And we'll give you the link. You can watch them. I will admit, they do make some really good live-action trailers.
I enjoyed all of these trailers. I don't really play online games, so I didn't really play Destiny. But I love how Destiny looks, and I love how dedicated the community is to it.
I would say the art direction in Destiny is second to none in video games.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Everything looks cool. Every character is interesting.
It's one of those games where you run around in sort of this open world space and you see other people, like humans, that are actually playing the game with you running around. And you walk up to them and you go, gosh, they look so cool.
Uh-huh, because everyone customizes it and there's so many different ways they can do it. And it's just a really good aesthetic. And I feel like a lot of things have sort of stolen their aesthetic afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
But none of those have been as good. Like Anthem. But no one talks about Anthem anymore.
No, that game was... I didn't play it, but it's not great.
I didn't
great.
Either. Yeah.
Destiny's great. I've actually been playing on Stadia again. I've been playing through Destiny 2 with all the new content. Because I get all the new content through like summer of next year. So I've been hopping back on that Destiny train.
I got to tour Bungie in 2016. My friend Taylor works there, and she took us around. And I saw some of like the props from these live-action trailers and stuff there.
I would love to go there. Man, that would be awesome.
Also, speaking of touring Bungie and donuts, there's a place called Top Pot Donuts in Bellevue, Washington, which is where Bungie is. And man, that's the best donut I ever had.
I have never been to Washington State.
It's the prettiest state that I've been to.
Gosh, I need to go up there. Let's see old Bill Doran and Brittany. So she said a couple of other things just regarding Destiny, like other sort of trailers that Bungie has done for Destiny.
There was a dance-off one that was really good.
Yeah, yeah. And some fan-made stuff as well. So yeah, it's good. And then she has a live-action trailer as well.
And there was also one for like a new holiday thing that's happening. It's called Season of the Dawn, and there's a trailer for that, and I think that's the most recent event that's happening. She said that holidays and destiny are analogous to in real life holidays, but they're built lore around them that makes sense in the world they're in. So that's a pretty good idea if you're going to have like online live events. It just seems like a good idea to me.
Well, folks, that does it for the Video Game Quarter portion of the show. And so, signing off now, I am Ben Moon, and I'm holding the Chrono Scepter.
I'm Nick Kelly, and I'm moving a hole around and eating up the world.
Happy Trailsers.
Happy Trailsers.
think he can.